Hi, Jason.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Couple That Scares Together. In case you forgot, I'm your host, Nicole, and we have been absent for quite a while, and I think we owe it to you to explain why, except for we don't have a really good excuse.
We've just been busy.
Yeah, we want to make it clear, we love this. I love this. I know Jason loves this. He probably was more keen on doing it than I was over the past few weeks. Life got busy. We have full-time jobs. I'm a school teacher, and Jason's in sales, and we work, and we have four kids, and they are very busy, and we had two birthdays this month and Halloween, and to be honest, we fully enjoyed being a family, and I'm not going to apologize for that.
What? No excuses are necessary.
No excuses are necessary.
By the way, there was an election, in case you missed it.
By the way, there was an election that we're back after, and we're just not even going to mention anything. So we're just going to move forward because we know that's really, that's a trigger that we don't want to trigger. That's not what this is about. This podcast is all about fun, and hopefully you get, you know, some scary stories from it and you get to know us. And to be quite honest, when we do this, we give you our all. We really do. And whether it seems like it or not, we don't want to just phone it in. And I think if I had done this podcast previous to tonight, I would have really just phoned it in. And I don't want to do that. I want to be excited about what I share with you guys.
So,
and particularly tonight's topic.
Hey, what? Most importantly,
right.
We're back.
We're back.
And we are ready to go.
I feel good. I feel good.
Yeah, no, you should. That's what this is about.
This is all about
feeling positive.
Yes.
And, feeling hopeful.
Right.
So,
and not, this is not supposed to be hard or something that you dread, right? And I was dreading doing this.
Who are you talking to?
Myself. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself. No, I felt a sense of dread trying to get myself to do the podcast after I had already written and prepared it. It was just sitting there, and I just don't know why I felt that dread. But I don't feel it tonight. I feel excited. I have my water bottle. I'm really hydrated. I've put a little pink Himalaya salt in my water, which if you've not tried, you should do so.
Because you didn't get me in water.
I did not put pink Himalaya salt in your water bottle.
There's no water bottle here for me. My wife, I was downstairs.
Why would you
with the kids,
that
taking the dog out.
Well, I'm sorry.
Here you were preparing your water.
Oh,
didn't prepare one for me.
I didn't do much of anything else tonight, huh?
No.
Why would you think I would make your water? Make your
Why
own water.
Why wouldn't you? If I was going to have two drinks, I would bring. Yeah, are you kidding me?
When's the last
time? I make you coffee every morning.
You do. Well, I appreciate that, but
nonsense.
I do everything else. Okay, so Jason will
Not
get
true.
A water bottle with Himalayan salt.
I just walked the dog.
Yes. If you...
We should pause this so I can go down and
get
grab myself a water.
Well, it helps with
the
absorption of electrolytes, and I have noticed a difference. So if you're somebody who is drinks water or just like you want to keep track of that, or maybe you are on some sort of like restrictive diet at some point, I've been following, I have celiac disease, so I don't eat gluten particularly. So I gave that up years and years ago. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, I mostly have eliminated carbs and processed sugars from my diet because that's what my body likes. That's how I respond best and keep myself, healthy. And pink Himalaya salt, just a little bit in your water helps with electrolytes absorption if you have any of those, if you're doing anything. What I'm thinking about is if you're on like some sort of keto diet, which I don't really call myself – I don't call my diet or what I eat keto because that would...
What would you call it then?
I don't know. It's a way of life.
Just eating smart.
Mm-hmm. Like it's a lifestyle because that implies that I'm doing something in order to get like weight loss or whatever. And then when I'm done with that, I'll stop doing it. I will always do this.
What are you doing? You're just eating smart and healthy.
Well, more than that, I carb restrict.
Okay.
And I don't mind fat, and I don't mind protein. I watch my protein.
Yeah.
I mean, but I eat a fat-rich diet because my body responds best for it. And I know that doesn't really have to do with maybe the couple that scares together, but that's who
that's
we are, and it's part of...
Happening.
Yeah. So if anybody's ever interested in learning more about that, I have... something called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And when I was in my early 20s, they told me I would never have children. So when I was really, well, I was young, and they told me that I would be on medication for the rest of my life, and that's how I would have to maintain myself. And I had another, a bunch of different issues. And I, through the way I eat and what I put into my body and just learning what works for me and a lot of resources that are out there, and I can share them at another time, I've been medication free my whole life. So, because I do believe food is medicine. That's a different kind of medicine. Well, you know what? That's funny that you say that. When I eat gluten and when I eat some things that are not good for my body.
What are you trying to say?
Uh-huh.
Because I have a
confession. It does affect me mentally. It does. I do find myself depressed. It's funny
that you say that because I ate.
What did you do today?
Because, listen, full confession.
Yeah.
In front of, you know, you and everybody else.
Sure.
I had my fair share of gluten today, which I do not normally eat. But we were at a family member's house today.
And you have zero willpower.
And I have zero will. I have a little bit of willpower.
Not when it comes to food.
Okay, not when it comes to food. So yesterday I had a beer, which was, I had a lone beer, which is depressing
because no
I
wanted to have
a lot more.
But, okay.
You know, again, we don't, you know, we eat really healthy and I don't want to have the gluten. So I had one beer yesterday and then today I broke down. I had some
two sandwiches, pizza. I lost track.
Yeah, no, that was it. Two sandwiches and pizza, but like a lot of gluten. About an hour later, driving home, like 2 hours later, started feeling like what's it called? Your throat?
Like a twitch in your throat?
Yeah.
Scratchy?
Yeah, right. Like mice in my throat. You know? That feeling, I started feeling like really sleepy, like what's going on?
A big old nap.
I mean, I knew what the problem was. Yes. It's because I ate the gluten. So, you know.
And he doesn't normally have a problem, but because we eat like this.
Celiacs.
No,
it doesn't affect me in that way. However, our diet is very, clean.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
You might say. So when I do have it on, you know, once in a while.
Yes.
Then it's an issue.
So we're not preaching, but I just wanted to tell you what I'm doing and maybe share a tip or two that I have learned from other people and pass it on to you guys, the things that work for me. So, but anyway, I feel like we're in a good place and we're ready to talk about tonight's episode. This is one that I'm so excited to share with you. It's near and dear to us. It's where we live virtually. We live about 25 minutes from here and that's Gettysburg. And we visit Gettysburg weekly, I would say at least, sometimes more during the summers, more frequently. I grew up going to Gettysburg because I grew up about a half hour from there. I have lots of personal experiences. This is the place where I had the most significant experiences, paranormal, supernatural-wise, and also personally. And it's also where we, like, had our second date and kind of where we kind of fell in love, I think.
I mean, I think you did. I was fine.
Okay.
I was unaffected by you.
Regardless of that, it's where I've seen ghosts. So, yes, it's where I've seen ghosts.
That's true. That was date number two.
We went in Gettysburg. Do you know that you, after our first date, you said to me, I'd like to see you again tomorrow. And I said, well, I have plans tomorrow. How about the next day?
Probably out seeing somebody else.
I was. And then the very next words out of your mouth were the same words that I was going to say. And said, do you want to go to Gettysburg?
Well, it's a great place.
It was good. Yeah. And we had a great time. We went on a ghost hunt.
It was kismic.
We went to have dinner at the Farnsworth house.
I don't remember all the details.
And we walked the battlefield.
Yes, I remember that.
And we went on a ghost hunt. We went on the Farnsworth ghost
hunt. I remember that there was a humongous cat.
Yes.
That was the date, right?
The cat next to...
The humongous cat.
In a stroller.
That was sitting there in a stroller, and I started...
And I was highly allergic.
Talking to people about the cats. I don't care.
You were rubbing all over the cat.
Right.
Yes.
That's it. No, I can't do it.
Tell him.
No.
Oh, tell him.
That's what she said.
No. Okay, well,
I could have. It was going to be worse.
Yeah. No. Well, can I tell him how that date went for you? Okay. So,
What?
Oh.
What are you talking about?
You don't know I'm going to tell him that story on our second date?
What story? Okay,
so on our second date, this was the second time I'd ever met Jason. It was truly a blind date, right?
This is about the cat?
Nope, not about the cat. And he is clearly a very physically fit man. He was back then, he still is, right?
That's and not, That's debatable.
When we first went out, we went to a restaurant. There wasn't any walking, but sitting down, whatever. So we go to Gettysburg and go for a walk first, right? And I notice that he has a limp. Well, Jason limps, okay? But I didn't know anything about it or why or anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
But throughout the evening, the limp is getting so much more pronounced that I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
You're going to tell this
story. Yeah, I'm going to tell it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this poor guy, I thought he was really fit. Because he told me he runs marathons and all kinds of stuff.
That was true.
I think he was not telling the truth. And he looks like he can't even walk. He's in so much pain. He looks really bad. So, and he kept just brushing me off. I was like, are you okay? Do you want to sit down? Okay. So I find out much later, right, that not only he does limp, and it's because he was born with that, right? I thought it was a sports premature injury. He was born premature.
He was born, like, months. Premature. I weighed about two or three pounds at birth or something. Yeah.
Yes. So, but that's not why he was in pain.
No.
The reason he was limping and in pain, it was getting worse, is he had a giant erection, and it was in the way, and he was trying to hide it.
That's true.
And conceal it, and it was painful.
That's correct. Yeah, I can't. Well, hey, it's why not share it with everybody? It's fine.
I am so flattered by it, though. It was just the start of something beautiful.
I was
beautiful.
Unprepared for that, for this this part of our story tonight.
Oh, I'm so happy that I'm so happy you're unprepared.
It's going to send, like, you know, listenership, like, through the roof.
I don't care.
Or have the opposite.
I don't care. I think it's a beautiful love story. You're
if you
not
call that
see...
love, I don't know if I'd call that
lust.
Love.
It always starts as lust. It would be like the Hallmark for Christmas stories, but with boners.
I mean, you might all... Hang on. You might also want to mention that it was during our second date.
Yeah, it was
our
second. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
What does that have to do with it?
Oh, please. I told my future wife that at the time, my wife, obviously now.
Yes. That's
not
me.
The case at that time. Yes. I said that, you know, listen, that you and I would be married.
You did say that.
Absolutely. Number two.
You did. You did. He said, no, I said think we're going to get married.
Yeah.
I said, you're crazy.
I said, I'm going to marry you. Aww. And she disregarded it.
I did tell you what kind of ring I wanted.
Yeah, that's true when you're wearing it now.
I am, yeah. So that's our love story. And we fell in love.
I don't know if that's a love story.
I think, for me it is. I don't care. Second date, fell in love. Knew it was forever.
Third date, bang. Oh, wait, what?
Took care of the erection.
That was it. It sinks up to the third date.
And it all happened in Gettysburg. So it's a really special place for
yes,
us.
Yes, it's a great place full of fond memories.
But it also has a lot of ghosts, and that's what we want to talk about tonight.
Well, it's got more than ghosts around there.
And so I'm going to tell you, and I've just recently went on a new ghost hunt that I'm going to tell you in a little bit. But let's get into it. You ready?
Yeah.
And away we go.
And away we go.
Okay. So just to give our international listeners some,
yes.
I'm going to say some perspective, some a little bit of, you know, geographical location of what we're talking about. Gettysburg is a borough and it's a town in the United States in the state of Pennsylvania. It's known for
producing large erections.
Yes, and it's known for the Gettysburg National Battlefield, which is throughout it. That was the turning point of the Civil War, and it now part of the Gettysburg National Military Park. This park also includes the Gettysburg Museum Visitor Center. They redid that recently.
Mm-hmm.
Not recently, but a couple years ago. Displaying Civil War artifacts. Its Gettysburg National Cemetery is there. And the memorial marks the site of Abraham Lincoln's 1863 Gettysburg Address.
God bless our greatest American president.
Yes. And some of the most famous and haunted locations are in Gettysburg. And we're going to go through some of those locations. And I'm going to share with you some of my personal stories as we go through. Okay.
They can't get any more personal than the one you just told.
They probably can. Oh, I can. and by the way, I don't care to tell. I tell anybody that.
It's fine.
So, because I've mentioned our international listeners, I want to give a little shout out to the countries that are listening. I find that incredible. And there might only be one person in this country, but whoever, if you're listening and you're from this country, thank you for listening, and we appreciate you. So,
absolutely.
We have people in the United States, obviously. We have people in the United Kingdom.
No, obviously, we appreciate those people.
I appreciate those people.
God bless those Americans.
Right, well, most of them are family. Australia, Mexico, Canada, India, Ireland, Sweden, the Netherlands, France, Spain, Brazil, Panama, Belgium. I'm not kidding. Norway, Philippines, Chile, Cayman Islands, Singapore, Puerto Rico, Thailand, and Indonesia. So if I named your country and you are listening to us, thank you. And we love you and we'd love to hear from you because I'd love to know who's listening in these countries so I can, so I know, okay? All right, so that's what we're talking about tonight is haunted Gettysburg. All right, so we're going to take you through some of these haunted locations, all right? Just kind of a brief summary of some of them and then we'll elaborate on some of the other ones. The Hoffman Mansion. Like many private homes and estates in Gettysburg, the Hoffman Mansion was converted into a makeshift field hospital as the battle reached its grounds. It's thought that the spirits of Union soldiers still take up residency in the mansion, and visitors to the site have reported hearing disembodied voices and seeing apparitions of soldiers. It's also rumored that the daughter of the man who owned the mansion hanged herself in the attic after learning that her lover had been unfaithful to her. Her spirit is said to occupy the attic space in particular and makes appearances in photos as orbs or other light anomalies. The Hoffman Mansion can be rented out for private ghost hunts for those looking for a different kind of tourist attraction in Gettysburg. So most of the ghost hunts that we've been on are in town or on the battlefield, but the more extreme ones, the ones you can rent out, well, that's one of the locations. So that's definitely something I'd like to do.
Yeah.
I'm not so much like a jump scare kind of girl. I'd rather learn about the history behind it and really do something serious. I don't need you to take me to a place to scare me. No, I can scare myself. I really want to do some really historical finds and talk about the history of the place. And then if I catch a great ghost picture, great. I don't need to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning with a Ouija board. In fact, I won't be. But that's something.
I'm not going to be there either. I'm not going
to. No, we don't mess with that. No. All right.
No, thank you.
Next, it brings us to the Gettysburg Hotel, which is beautiful.
It's a great place, man.
Right. Our own hotel has been known to have a few paranormal guests as well as our regular clientele. Most guests talk about seeing Rachel, who's believed to be a Civil War era nurse. She's said to be looking for wounded soldiers that she can care for as well as opening drawers and removing the contents. Past guests have also reported seeing a wounded soldier and a lady dancing in the center of the ballroom.
Speaking of Rachel, I have to say this. My old girlfriend, before I met my wife, her name was Rachel.
God rest her soul.
As far as I am, she's still alive. But I'm sure she's I will lovely. Say this.
What?
Years ago, I believe that she took my diploma.
What are you talking about?
My college diploma.
What does that have to do with the Gettysburg Hotel?
I just thought, you just mentioned the name Rachel, which we're talking about.
First of all, she's not going to hear
we're
this.
We're talking about.
But if you do, could you send him back his diploma?
Things that are scary.
Because he won't spend $30 to get a new one.
my college diploma is missing.
Do you think she intentionally did that?
I reached out to her before. I seriously did. Like,
I don't think she wants to hear from you.
I understand that. I just said, hey, if you come across my diploma, can you please return it to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard any.
Like, I'm shocked that she never replied.
Well, it's like through, a relative,
yes,
like a friend. You know,
still, I'm shocked.
Of hers. Yeah, they. Nobody ever responded to that. The relative.
Perfect.
Nor.
Yeah, because no one cares. Send $30 and get yourself a diploma.
I worked hard for it.
$30.
By the way, Penn State is 0-3, so they're doing a great job.
It's disgusting. All right, so that brings us to the Saks Covered Bridge. You know this bridge.
I do.
Okay. Bridges as a whole have a rather rich supernatural baggage associated with them. Some throughout the U.S. are home to the nastiest of haunts. Ooh, this is designated the most historic bridge. The scenic covered bridge is rumored to be where their 3 Confederate soldiers were hanged for attempting to desert during the Battle of Gettysburg. Desertion was common during the Civil War, as most soldiers had never experienced battle before and were often far too young to even enlist. Stephen Crane's famous novel, The Red Badge of Courage, deals with the topic of desertion and describes in detail all consuming terror soldiers experience at the hands of their fellow countrymen.
I read that.
It's a great book.
Yeah, no, it's been is it middle school when you read that?
Probably, yes. Yeah.
I'm trying to think back.
Saks Covered Bridge is said to be guarded by the spirits of the soldiers who were hanged there, and many people have reported a feeling of uneasiness at the site. Others have witnessed full-body apparition of a soldier pacing along the bridge's length. Do you remember our experiences with there? Okay. I know. Probably, you have the most terrible memory. Okay, so week two. Well, we've gone there a lot.
To pick memory it. Of a dodo bird. Or something.
I have the most beautiful pictures, the sweetest pictures of you and Brody and Morgan when they were little. Yes, walking down the
bridge. I remember that. Yes. I remember holding their hands when they were like really small.
But also, I remember you and I taking Scout there when we first got her as a puppy.
Our dog.
Yeah, she wasn't really. She was a big puppy. And we thought she was the most lovely, well-behaved puppy till we got to the Saks-covered bridge.
She would
not cross the bridge. And then you picked her up and carried her across the bridge. And then she continually barked at the bridge to and from, and we had to leave.
She's a great dog,
Yep,
though.
That's the last time we were there.
I'm going to get a picture of her. Post it.
Okay. So well, can see for her. Whatever reason, I never knew it was haunted or everything. So,
well, that's... Listen. In retrospect,
mm-hmm. it could have been
something there.
Absolutely,
like the dogs.
Sure, you know, animals are very sensitive to that.
Yeah.
I will say in general, Gettysburg is not a scary area.
It's fantastic,
and I would say most of the haunts are residual, meaning it plays over and over again, and not like anything demonic or would interact with you.
As far as we know,
right? It's just like layers upon layers of sadness and tragedy and blood spilt.
Yeah,
and it's like a recording that keeps playing. I think a lot of it.
Gettysburg is a fantastic place. You know, if you have not been there, I highly encourage, you know, I mean, everybody to visit.
Yeah, do a weekend.
I mean, we live here, obviously, but there is no other place like it in the world.
I think so. We're very lucky that we live close to it. We'll probably at some point move closer. I'm not sure. Jason keeps promising to take me to a bed and breakfast. Even though I hate bed and breakfast, I would go to one in Gettysburg.
Hard luck, we would do that, and then we get, well, I shouldn't even say
what?
Bed bugs or something.
We Ooh, go that's not my thought. My thought is we stay at the Farnsworth Bed and Breakfast, and one of the rooms is so haunted that people leave in the middle of the night. So that would be the haunted room I got.
I've heard that. Well, then, listen, that's the case, then we should, that's where we should stay.
Oh, God.
That's where we should stay.
Well, I wanted to enjoy it.
Well, no, I mean, I think it'd be, well, listen, fine.
Fine.
By the way.
What?
Your birthday is coming up.
It is. Next weekend, you know what I'm doing?
November 18th.
Do you know what I'm doing? Birthday. Next weekend? My sister and I are going
know,
to visit.
Why don't you tell everybody
my
else?
Sister and I go visit a medium for my birthday.
You're going to unlock something bad.
No, I want to make a connection with my mom.
I know, but
she passed away
that's
a year
slippery
ago.
Slope.
Well, only her.
According to the Warrens, you shouldn't mess with that kind of stuff.
I'm going to be careful.
Like in the rain. You know more than the Warrens.
No. I have You're more hubris be careful than
that,
the Warrens.
I'm going to be careful. Like, what the hell does that mean? You're going to be careful.
No, because...
You're talking about dealing with things
I'm
that
not
are spiritual in nature.
Right, but I'm not...
But you're going to be careful.
I'm not opening any doors.
A complete novice.
Correct.
That you know of.
I feel like intention matters, and my intention is not to attract
and
anything.
And Lorraine...
Okay,
I mean,
calm down. Yes.
I respect that.
I know.
What they say. I mean,
I'm very excited. I'll let you all know.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but
I'm very
just
excited.
Proceed with caution.
Okay, proceed with caution. All right, so the next haunt is the Daniel Lady Farm.
Hang on. Is he farming ladies here? Because
no.
If that's the case.
No. Used as a Confederate field hospital during the battle. You're going to hear most things were used as a Confederate or Union field hospital. Daniel Lady Farm has retained astonishing evidence of its gruesome history throughout the decades. There are bloodstains from amputated limbs and even bloody fingerprints visible in the woodwork around the home.
Mm-hmm.
And in the barn area, one can find initials and other graffiti carved into the beams by Confederate soldiers. Forensic testing proved the legitimacy of the bloodstains in the house, and cadaver dogs have confirmed the presence of graves around the farm.
Imagine that.
I mean, everything. Both
graves
the house
and lost limbs.
Yeah. Both the house and the barn still show signs of structural damage attained during the battle, and many believe that the farm is the site of several hauntings. The upstairs area of the home is believed to be particularly active, and historical records tell us that when the Lady family returned to the farm after the battle, they discovered the body of a dead Confederate soldier still lying in one of the upstairs bedrooms.
Oh my gosh.
What?
As you were reading this, all I could think about was Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
When they would constantly do programs about haunted Gettysburg. And when I was a kid, man, I used to love watching Robert Stack.
Aren't you so disappointed the new one isn't anything about that?
Yes. I mean, the shows are good.
They're great.
They
it's
are,
just not Unsolved
but there's
Mysteries.
No, because there's no... Like, I mean, here's the problem. And there's no way of getting around it. But you can't like, you can't
recreate that host.
Recreate without
a host.
The kind of, like, he just had a way to bring out.
Right.
Like, to I don't know.
I know what you're saying. He made it palatable.
Like, he made the stories just resonate with me as a viewer.
Yes.
Like, in a way that was so powerful.
I agree.
It was just incredible. Like,
well, I'm on board with having the no narrator. That's fine. Don't replace him. Can we stop doing so much true crime? The one about the tsunami was a little bit scary, haunty. But I want some supernatural stuff on that show. So they better figure it out. I mean,
use a host. Like, Ricky Gervais would be a great host.
Oh, my gosh,
no. Sacha Baron Cohen.
I don't know. All terrible. No.
Who would... I mean, Bill Shatner. Coast to Coast. Bill Shatner.
Yeah, Bill Shatner. Well, he already does a show like that.
Yeah, true.
But...
The guy from the...
Coast to Coast.
What's his name again?
I'm going to forget.
I can't remember his name.
I'll remember it. I know, that's disgusting because I love him and I listen to it a lot, so...
Yeah, but what's his name? I can't remember his name.
Well, I'll think about it.
But, yeah, I mean...
He would be great.
Bring on a host. Yeah. But the point is this. As a kid... Living in the area and being able to watch that,
Josh Gates, like, would do it
every Friday.
I love Josh Gates.
I think Sightings was on Saturday. Yeah, that was another great show.
I think
show.
It was Sunday because people got together.
Can we still find these episodes?
I don't
know. Is there a way to, like, track them
down?
Sally
House,
watch them again?
Which is going to be an episode we're going to do at some point. Is terrifying. That show that Sightings did about the Sally House still gives me nightmares. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh, we have to revisit these shows. We should just make our own show.
Okay, well, we can't do any of that.
Unsolved Mysteries.
You ready for my next haunt?
Yeah, let's do it.
Next haunt. The Jenny Wade House. This one...
Hang on, let's pause for a second.
What?
We can certainly make our own show. We just haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
All right. That's possible.
I guess so. So the Jenny Wade House is, for me, my white whale. I don't even know what to say about this. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the Gettysburg College, because that's really, that could be a show in and of itself. But just quickly.
Moby Dick reference.
Oh my gosh. Just quickly about the Jenny Wade House. So I went there with my mom and my grandmother when I was respectfully 8. My sister was 6, something like that. And it was a day out in Gettysburg. And I remember we probably ate at the Vonsworth House in the garden, I remember. And we went on this tour. And my grandmother was blind, so she can't see. She couldn't see. That's maybe not important to the story. I'm not really sure. But anyway, my mom wanted to go into the house and do this. And she loved history, so that's probably where I got it from. So my sister and I were excited. I remember we had ice cream cone before it and everything else. We go into this tiny little house. So the Jenny Wade House was a regular residential house. It's right in the middle of the downtown of Gettysburg. It's mostly original. It looks the way it was. And Jenny Wade was the first civilian killed in the Battle of Gettysburg. And a stray bullet went through the door and hit her. And then there's some weirdness going on because it's also used as a Confederate, or used as a field hospital. I'm not sure if it was Confederate or not. There's some weirdness with that. And they also, the person she was supposed to marry died in battle too. It's very strange, the whole thing. Or there's a story behind it.
I think she was like standing at the
window.
She
was baking bread.
Like doing dishes or something. Yeah. Like some kind of chore. She's
probably doing a menial chore.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, women should.
As women should, sure. Right, exactly. So she was shot through the door. You can still see the bullet hole in the door. They kept it. Regardless
Real
of that.
Men are out there, you know, involved in warfare, which is where I would have been. I would have been in the middle, in the mix, in the blood and the guts out there.
I don't know about that. But anyway, we went on this tour. And when they do that, they put you in through the front of the house and they lock the door behind you because they want you to go through the house and come out through the cellar. However, for children, and I don't know if other children have this reaction, but my sister and I did. The lights went out, and then a light comes on for the wax figure, and he begins to talk to give us this tour. It's a self-guided tour with these animatronics wax figures.
I got it.
What?
The host.
Who?
Bryan Cranston.
Ew.
You don't think he would do a good job?
No, he's too cheesy. Keep thinking. But anyway. So they immediately close the door, lights go off, light illuminates on this wax figure, and my sister and I begin to scream in terror. Scream in terror. For whatever reason, we didn't want to go in that house. My sister said she was scared of that house. I was scared of the house. My mother could not control us. She did everything in the world to try to stop us so she can continue.
She had used a lot of profanity.
Oh, gosh. She's probably so frustrated. So she bangs on the door, and the tour guy comes and unlocks it. We hadn't even made it past the first room. And she takes my grandmother and the two of us and sits us on a bench. Then my mom does the tour all by herself. And when she comes back out, she said, "I'm so glad that I decided to take you guys out of there. You would never have made it in the cellar. Like, you would have freaked out."
Your poor grandmother can't even see.
No, she just sit there. Well, she's probably happy. She didn't want to walk through that place.
Danny Glover.
Okay, maybe.
No, seriously.
James
what do you think?
Earl you Jones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but...
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's the white whale. I mean, that's yeah. How are you gonna? How much money are you gonna pay?
Is a lot.
Take to
Netflix though. Yeah. So anyway, since then I have not been in the Jenny Wade house, and I mean it. Since I was 8 years old, won't go. I will go.
Oh, that's not true. You have a birthday.
No, I don't know
up.
If I can do
I'm
the Jenny Wade house. I'm scared of it.
We're doing it.
I went on a date
we're
in high school.
We're finally doing it. Oh, here we go. Here we go with your high school dates.
He wanted to go through the house, and I didn't want to. And it was like a whole big thing, and we never went out again because of the Jenny Wade house.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dodged a bullet, pun intended.
Well, what's his name?
I don't need to know. I don't even remember. But I just remember the Jenny Wade house. But that is my, I've never been in before, but if I can gather up the courage, I will do that. Okay? So we'll talk a little bit about Gettysburg College. Many historical buildings around the city were used as emergency hospitals. I think I said that. It was really mm-hmm. common, but they also were used as morgues during the Battle of Gettysburg.
This is on Unsolved Mysteries, features the hospital quite a bit, like a lot of programs do.
Yes. And the Gettysburg College is no exception. Both the Confederate and Union soldiers took up residency in the college's Pennsylvania Hall, transforming it into a makeshift hospital. Untold scores of men died from battle wounds, infection, and illnesses on the college's grounds. So it's no wonder the school has experienced lots of hauntings and paranormal energies.
Mm-hmm.
Many students and professors have reported paranormal activity, such as objects going missing or being moved, flickering lights, and sensing negative energies. But there has also been numerous reports of seeing full-bodied apparitions of soldiers around the college. However, it's not only the spirits of soldiers which are purported to wander the Gettysburg College. The campus is also home to a spirit known as Blue Boy, an orphan who froze to death in one winter's night while seeking shelter at the college.
God,
sorry.
That's so terrible.
Many students have reported seeing the face of the Blue Boy in the windows of one of the college's dorms on cold winter's nights. And speaking of orphans, that leads us to the next one. The children's orphanage. You think the other was sad?
I can't. I mean, it's fun. Listen.
Originally known.
It's just hard to hear.
I know. We did this on our ghost hunt.
Yes, we did.
Years ago.
We did.
Yes. Originally known as the National Homestead at Gettysburg, this orphanage was one of many built across the country in response to the thousands of children who were orphaned by the Civil War. The Gettysburg Children Orphanage was built with good intentions and had a promising start. But when the headmistress was replaced by a woman named Rosa Carmichael, things took a turn for the worst. Rosa Carmichael devised a horrific punishment for the children living at the orphanage. Even goes so far as to create a dungeon in the basement where she chained up misbehaving children to the walls and kept them locked up for days without food or water. Worse still was the pit. Remember, we saw it. They have a little mannequin in the pit.
Yes, a small
lightless crevice in the dungeon where children were forced to stay as punishment. Many believe the orphanage is haunted by the spirits of the children who died from disease or malnutrition, while others believe it's Rosa Carmichael herself who still haunts the grounds of the children's orphanage. Regardless, the orphanage is one of the most chilling sights in all of Gettysburg.
That is like just a cruelly horrible tale that reminds me of when we talked about New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Like in
This woman, there's evidence that she, and there's a lot of children. Like
physically abused.
Yes, and there's a lot of children that there's records that can't be explained and they're missing. I'm sure she killed kids.
Yeah. I mean, it's just atrocious.
And everyone looked the other way because she was doing a good thing.
Sure.
So they said.
Right.
So that brings us to Little Round Top. You know where Little Round Top is.
I do.
Okay.
I've hiked it.
All right. So have I. At this strategic point in the battlefield of Gettysburg, it's rumored that the spirit of George Washington appeared before Union soldiers twice. Once to lead them in the right direction before fighting started, and the second time in the heat of the battle to spur them onwards. The division commander testified to the president's ghostly appearance, saying, "We know what mystic power may be possessed by those who are now." I don't know why this word.
Know not of what this mystic word. Power may be possessed by those who are now bivouacking with the dead.
Okay, I've never heard of that word, and I only know the effect, but I dare not explain or deny the cause. Who shall say that Washington was not among the number of those aided the country that he founded? Little Round Top was also known as the Valley of the Death and Slaughter Pen because of how many men lay decomposing where they fell for months after the battle ended. Little Round Top is thought to be one of the most paranormal activity areas of the battlefield because of the intensity of the fighting that once occurred there and the sheer number of men who fall in the heat of battle. So you want to hear, well, two experiences. One, Teddy swore he saw a soldier there on one of our hikes when he was very little and barely had language. But he would, and it's quite,
he has a lot of language now.
Here's the thing.
Most of it profane.
Most of it's profane. No, it's possible that we did see some things because there's tons of reenactors and there's tons of people that dress up in period garb around this place. Yeah. So take that for a grain of salt. But here's my personal experience with the listen, path.
Before we go down that road, though.
What?
Think about, like, if you are a soldier.
Okay.
And,
I'm trapped in a loop?
I'm saying, like, you know, during the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just total
chaos. Sure.
You're very fearful. And then you see, of all things, like the ghost of Washington would be, that would just be incredible. Look at. So, no, my point is that you're in battle and all of a sudden here, of all people or of all sightings or whatever, it's Washington.
Yeah. No.
Pretty you're awesome.
Right. It is. So here's my personal experience. So there is a path from Little Round Top down to Devil's Den. All right. And on this particular occasion, I was running, which is really hard to believe. Listen, if I'm ever on, I joke, but if I'm ever like found missing and I was running, that's not true. They brought me to that location.
You're being chased.
Yeah, I'm being chased. Well, maybe. So in this case, though, I had a puppy and it was a Weimaraner and she was nuts and loved to run in the woods. And she loved to run down the path. Like, this was her favorite spot. So so I parked up near the porta potties. They have porta potties there, and it's a really dense area, which is, you know, this is in the battlefield. But when you go after the crowds have left during like the summer and the fall or whatever, it's beautiful and people are out walking and hiking and stuff. But sometimes people go into town to eat dinner and it's pretty abandoned. Like it can, you know, right by dusk or whatever. So that was my favorite time to go. So I was taking her. She liked to run down the path. We'd been there before. And it was a Sunday evening. I don't remember the time of the year, but it was nice enough that I was out, and I don't like the cold, so it must have been nice. It was twilight, and the sun was setting, and the woods are dense there, and I was alone, but I was not scary alone. I was really not scared. And as I was jogging, something made me stop, and I felt different. And I just can't even describe it, except for it was quiet all of a sudden and thicker. Like, it just felt thick right in the middle of this path. So I pulled the dog near me, and she was concerned because she was hyped, like anxiety driven anyway. So she was concerned. And that's when I heard like either explosions or fireworks or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I saw clearly an outline of a soldier in the distance in the woods. Clear as day, not translucent, but like a real outline of a soldier. And now like in Gettysburg, that happens all the time. So I put my hand up to wave because I thought, oh, they're doing a reenactment or something, and to wave, and he looked right through me, like no recognition of me or anything out. I don't exactly remember the details, but the experience right now is vivid to me. Like I can feel chills in my body, and I was weirded out so much that I got out of there and went the long way around, which I would never have done because that was longer and probably more physically demanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so when I got out of the woods, it cleared immediately and it was like a fog lifted. It really was an eerie fog at twilight. So I get out of there on my way out. I stopped at McDonald's in the drive-thru.
Of course you did.
To get a cold drink.
After you ran.
To get a cold drink. Stopped at
McDonald's to get a cold drink.
And I said to the cashier, there must be doing reenactments because I heard gunshots or whatever. And this person said to me, they don't have any reenactments planned today. They have to tell people that. But you are the third person to tell me a story like that today.
Really?
Yeah. And this is forever ago. So I wasn't doing this podcast. This was not in my wheelhouse. So I didn't even ask for elaboration, but that's my Gettysburg story in the woods.
See, I don't have anything like cool like that. I have a lot. Like, I have no experiences.
But to me, that was just like a funny day. I saw a soldier, may or may not have been there.
A funny day? I mean, that's a pretty like memorable experience.
I guess, but I wasn't scared by that. And I've had that my whole life.
No, I'm not saying that you should be scared or, you know, have... You know, none of that, but right. I mean, it's like a memorable event.
I guess so. You know what? At the time, I'm not even sure it was worth telling it somebody.
Well, because, you just did. You told a lot of people.
Yeah. Because if you had asked me 10 years ago if I believed in ghosts, I'd have been like this. I don't know. I don't care. I guess so.
I mean, if you would have told me, you know, 10 years ago that we'd be sitting here and you'd be talking about me walking around Gettysburg, with a heart on.
Oh, God.
I would have thought that's crazy talk.
Rachel, look what you're missing.
I know. If you have my diploma, can you please return it?
All right. So that brings us to the National Cemetery. All right. And it's beautiful, by the way. The cemetery is beautiful. So, and if you go visit the new visitor center, because it's right there, and they've done a really nice job redoing it. So, but now you have to pay, which makes me mad, but whatever.
Don't be so cheap.
Oh, so cheap. All right. So cemeteries are by far the most active hot spots in the region.
Imagine that.
I can't imagine why. You really can't have a terror-filled walkabout without visiting a cemetery or two. Walkabout. I love that term.
That's for our friends in Australia.
A walkabout. They probably are like, we don't say that.
Paul Hogan.
The site of almost 4,000 Civil War graves, the Gettysburg National Cemetery is one of the most paranormal active sites in the entire city. After the battle, thousands of soldiers' bodies lay decomposing across the farmlands of Gettysburg. Many soldiers had been buried where they fell on that battlefield, marked only by a wooden board. Rain and wind began uncovering the remains across the city. And fearing the spread of disease, the residents of Gettysburg called upon a proper cemetery to be created. And women, by the way, for months walked around with the smell or with a handkerchief with rose petals or rose oil. Ugh. And if you go to Gettysburg, there's a good chance you can walk by and smell rose oil. You can. I've smelled it before.
I've never smelled it.
Okay, well, it smells like roses. People say it all the time. And usually somebody will go, there's no roses here. But people in Gettysburg report it all the time. Rose oil.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's not, I mean, of all the things, it's not a decomposing body, so it smells great.
Yeah, it's going to be better than that.
So work began about 4 months later to build a cemetery, and it was erected as a Union Federal burial place, while the bodies of Confederate dead were left to their impromptu graves until Southern veteran societies were able to begin reburial procedures in the 1870s, moving the soldiers' bodies to cemeteries across the South. The violent, terrible manner of so many men's death, combined with the long interim between death and a proper burial, is thought to have made the cemetery a highly active paranormal location. The cemetery is also where Abraham Lincoln delivered his famous Gettysburg Address, and as he noted himself, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggle here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. And by the way, if you go on to Gettysburg on either his birthday or the day he's, you know, his Gettysburg, the battle, there's always big doings. So, big doings.
Well put.
Mm-hmm. This brings us to Devil's Den, which is the site of constant anxiety for me because Teddy loves to climb big rocks, and this is the place that has big rocks.
Mm-hmm. When you guys go to Gettysburg to visit, you absolutely you have to go to Devil's Den.
You have to, yes.
It's a very unique spot. The rocks, kids especially, love to climb the rocks.
Yes. So it's the site of heavy casualties and fierce fighting. The Devil's Den Rock is a formation that's believed to be the most active location. I think I've said that a lot. Yeah, in the entire Gettysburg battlefield. Some reports say that it's a site named Devil's Den because it was rumored that the devil, taking the form of a massive snake, lived deep in the rock formation. More than 2,000 men perished in battle as they fought to take possession of Devil's Den. And it's believed the site is now home to several restless spirits. The most common reported experience at the Devil's Den is that the cameras explicitly lose all power and short out when visitors try to take a picture. Many believe there is a spirit who dislikes photographs being taken at the site, and others claim that the spirit belongs to a Confederate soldier whose body was heartlessly staged in different positions around the battlefield by a Civil War photographer. That's a true story. That happened.
Son of a bitch. Yep. Is trying to exploit the dead.
Historians discovered that many photos were taken around the Devil's Den were staged after seeing multiple photos of the same soldier posed in various positions around the site. As one of the Gettysburg Battlefield Park Rangers put it, if there's a disgruntled spirit in Devil's Den that has any sort of negative thing towards photographer, it would be this guy. So here's my experience with that. Okay. So right up from Devil's Den, in the loop, they call it, right, is a beautiful monument with has a dog laying right a bronze statue of a dog. It is, I believe, the Irish Memorial.
Right near
it. Beautiful. There. And it's so beautiful that you would say, I'd like to take a picture.
We have been there numerous times. We've had picnics right there.
We have. Yeah. We've never had a picture come out. I've never had a picture come out.
It's never worked?
Never worked.
Every time you've taken a picture there, it's never...
My family has taken pictures there with various dogs because we thought that's cute, right?
Right.
My Weimaraners when I had them, my Corgi when I had them. I don't have any pictures that came out from that site.
Never.
But I've had pictures, I think, like right down the loop, like right there. And I've had pictures at Devil's Den.
Never on the spot.
Never on that spot in that monument. And we always are disappointed. But never think it's something paranormal.
Wonder what, yeah.
But it is. So anyway, that's my experience that. All right. So... these are the haunted locations in Gettysburg that I just wanted you guys to touch on. And I wanted to talk about the haunted house we almost bought.
Oh, yeah.
So you say that you haven't had that many experiences. We almost bought a haunted house.
Yeah, that's not true. There was a
tell us about how that came about. It's in Heidelberg.
So there's a house that's located a few miles from Gettysburg. It's in it's in, I don't know, it's
Heidelberg.
7-8 miles away in Heidelberg.
Yes.
It's a rural area, lots of, you know, fields and such. And I remember, you know, just driving by this place.
Well, you're missing a key look point. At it. I said to you, we were in the
market. What's the key? You tell the story.
Let me tell it because I know all the details. Now, I said to you, This is going to bring us to manifestation, like manifesting stuff.
Let's go.
Okay. So I told you that I had seen an advertisement, or like I'd see an ad or something, and they were selling a house in Gettysburg, and that it was a Civil War hospital. They were selling it. That was true. It was one of the houses, the historic houses that backs up to the battlefield.
Yes.
And you said, well, look it up. And I said, okay. It was really reasonably priced.
Right.
And so as we're going through it, you said to me, well, are you out of your mind? It has 2 bedrooms. And we only had 2 kids at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you said, well, we can't have a 2-bedroom house. And I said, you said, I'm not even going to look at this, Nicole. That house is small. It's too small for us. And I said, well, maybe we could add on. And you said, funny that you said that. We looked, you can't because it's a battlefield historical house, right? So I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
Okay? The next day, you call me while you're working and you go, well, you're not going to believe this, but I just went by a house.
The place
was amazing. I would like to say you got a zap from it.
If that's what you want to call it.
I called a zap.
I felt like the house, it spoke to me. Like,
it spoke
to
me.
You need to come check me out.
So you said, it's in Heidelberg, it needs work.
Well,
it's huge. Let's go see it. So I said, yeah, I'm game. So I get there. It's this big old house that was once a Civil War hospital, then became a brothel. It was on the...
Nothing wrong with that.
No. It was on the path where the soldiers marched. It was... it's very sort of in the middle of... on the outskirts of town, that, but it would have absolutely seen battle, or it would have
seen the... Cummings and
I'm sure people died in the house and everything else. Probably was a makeshift morgue. They think it backs up to a cemetery, like a tiny little cemetery. And I remember walking in the backyard, not even going into the house, and seeing like an empty chicken coop and this tiny cemetery.
It just, like, it was very spooky.
Yes.
Like, when you walked around there,
you felt like you were in another world.
It was, it just had like a spooky presence to it. And I mean, I was, it needed a hell of a lot of work.
So that's why we didn't get it, not because it was spooky. So we go in, we meet the real estate agent, and he says, I'm so glad you guys are here. It's summer, so it's light out, right? He says, I'm gonna tell you through, but we have to be done in a half hour because I don't stay here after dark.
Right. The guy was very upfront.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
There was people living there.
He was serious. He would not be in the house after dark.
Yes. So we toured it, left that day, came home, spoke to a friend who also has contracting backgrounds because the house was bought by a contractor. They started work and then he died in the house. Or maybe did not die in the house.
Something strange happened where they had to, like, someone had died in the house or something.
It was the husband. And the daughter-in-law and the father-in-law were still living in separate parts of the house.
I think that they, like, they had ran out of funds or something when, you know,
after
wrong.
He died, though, I think. It was like it was a money pit, probably.
Like a strange.
But they put a new roof on. They'd done so much work. It was beautiful. It had so much potential. It had pocket doors, which brings me to the pocket doors.
I don't know what a pocket door is.
I'll show you. I'll tell you. So we get with our friend, and he says, well, I'll go with you and see the house and see what we're doing. I said, okay. So we go again, right? And again, our real estate agent says, I don't stay. Like, we need to go. We need to come or whatever. So we go through the whole house, and our friend, oh.
It's still like just, ew. I just felt a chill.
And
just
thinking about it. So our friend goes, first of all, you two can't do this. You have zero experience. This will kill your marriage. You don't have the expertise to rebuild a historic home. You're idiots. You can't, like, are you willing to sink $100,000 right now into the place before you can even move in?
The answer is no.
No, to none of that. We don't know what we're doing. Barely can paint. So, but I'm really disappointed. And as we're walking through, he says, I'm going to go down to the basement. Check out the basement. I go, well, don't go down there. It's spooky. He goes, well, I don't care. He's very religious. And it's a dirt floor. And as he walked down there, he comes back and he goes, he says, I felt like just a cold draft. And I go, well, that's probably not good. He goes, I probably some ghosts. Like, he just let it roll off his back, right? The real estate agent turns to us and says, I'm leaving. So you guys can just lock up. Like, left us there and left. And as he goes, we're talking. And really, I didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
Like, I was one of those houses where I was
it was enchanting.
I think the ghosts were enchanting me. I wasn't scared. I was intrigued.
It was enchanting.
I was enchanted. And all of a sudden, we go to turn around to leave, and pocket doors are doors that slide into the wall.
Oh, I remember this.
And they went, boom, two sets of them in two different parts of the house.
Yeah. It was like the doors had slammed shut, and it felt like you could hear almost footsteps.
Heavy footsteps throughout the house.
I would never have believed that. If someone told me this story, I'd be like, well, you know, who knows? It could have been anything. Maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah.
But man, I experienced it myself. That I can truly say is like the one time.
You knew it.
Where, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really weird feeling.
And we were weirded out.
Like in your, like you could, it's just a strange feeling. Like,
were you scared? I wasn't.
I was a little bit freaked out after that. Yeah. Like it was a
But I still would have bought the house.
Yes.
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 If I, in a perfect world.
If we had the money.
If I had, yeah.
We would have bought it.
If there was a genie.
Yep.
I absolutely would have purchased a home.
But I think we were under some sort of spell because weeks later, I mean, we still go buy it and it's since been bought by
it looks fantastic.
Somebody made it into a chiropractor's
office.
Bought
it and it looks wonderful.
And it looks wonderful. He finished restoring it and it looks amazing. But
I think it's a woman, actually.
Okay. Or she did. And it looks amazing. It wasn't until months later that kind of the fog had lifted and we were like, thank God we didn't buy that house.
Yeah.
We would have been scared all the time, probably, and wouldn't have had the money to do it, right? And it would have been a disaster.
Reach out to that chiropractor.
I'm going to go get my back adjusted and just loiter in the house. And then I'll tell him my story.
I'll call him
and see if he takes my insurance.
I don't know. All right. Let's do it.
Okay. But anyway.
Get a microphone when you go in there.
I will. I'm mic'd up. Can I interview you?
You are breaking every hip along in a man.
No, know, it's just me. But that's our story about our haunted house we almost bought in Gettysburg. We still would buy a haunted house in Gettysburg. Absolutely. Jason, for years,
I love it,
would call me and say, I want you to meet me in Gettysburg. There's a real estate agent that's going to show us
out. Just to go look at the house.
Yes. They were all old.
Like, I still to this day, just drive by that place and just look at it.
Yeah.
Like just longingly.
It makes me think of the story of the, you said the warnings, the Warrens, the Conjuring, the Perrin family.
Yes,
and
in
how
Connecticut.
When they went into that house, they were just enchanted and lulled.
I'm sorry, was it in Rhode Island? I can't remember. Was Rhode Island or,
I think
or
it's
Connecticut?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, right?
Yeah, I think it's Rhode Island.
Yeah, the Warrens are in Connecticut, and the yes. other house is
in Rhode Island. But they were just enchanted by it. They didn't know how they were going to pay for it. They didn't, and the universe sort of like opened up, but then, and made it happen. And then once they were in there, they're like, oh shit.
Yeah, they're freaked out. Like, every night at 3 a.m.
Yeah, oh boy.
Bad stuff happening.
Oh my. So, anyway, that's it for our Gettysburg stories. There are more that we'd like to discuss. And that
that's
we'll,
a lot more.
Yeah, a lot more. But I wanted to give you an overview of Haunted Gettysburg and why we love it so much. And if you come to visit, check it out. That you can never, there's so much to do. There's so many tours. There's so many activities that you won't
like
be disappointed.
This. Good food. There's bars.
Absolutely.
All, I mean, it's all.
Absolutely.
It's not a great description. This is
the
it's,
energy
it's
here.
It's a fantastic
is
place.
Awesome. It's great for families. It's great for couples. Come see.
Great for everybody.
Great for everybody.
Of all ages.
Which brings us to our scary side stories, and I have some good
scary
ones.
Scary side bars.
Scary side bars. Something. All right. So a couple things that I saw this week in the last couple weeks, and I wanted to share with you. Apparently. And this was in Popular Mechanics. The Earth keeps pulsating every 26 seconds, and no one knows why.
That's like a heart?
Yeah. They don't know why.
That's because...
What? Why?
Well, because...
Disclosure.
In the middle of the Earth, there's lizard people.
Lizard people, and they are fired up some sort of weapon, and that's what we're doing.
Right.
So, maybe you out there know what's going on, and you can inform us of what's happening with the Earth. But if you're not going to tell me it's lizard people, don't tell me.
All right, then it's not lizard people. It's actually the Muppets.
Okay, I like that. All right. Here's my next story. Exorcism is apparently increasingly... It's increasing and frequently during these U.S. protests. So, apparently... it's now much more common, or it's on the rise, I will say, that people are, seeking out exorcisms. This leads me to believe that the world is actually on fire and this is the end of days. This supports my theories about that. And I am prepared for the end. So there it is.
It's the lizard people again.
It's the lizard people again.
They're everywhere.
Okay. All right. So this one I thought you would like. I want to note, so I mentioned I'm a teacher. And
right.
I taught a lesson with Moby Max. If you're a teacher or a kid, or you have young kids, you probably know who that is. It's a robot and animated stuff. And he talks about history and stuff, lessons.
Mm-hmm. And stuff.
This, and you know, stuff, lessons. This one, they did a game and they made fun of CERN during the game. They said,
I don't know what CERN is.
CERN is this research center. That's been, we don't know. It's a, like a physics research center.
Oh,
and the joke is it's opening portals and all kinds of, that was the joke.
Wormholes.
Yeah. That, well, portals to other worlds and dimensions, like in Stranger Things. They
or
made
like
a joke of that.
Many other movies.
On this educational site. I almost died. It was amazing. None of the kids got it. CERN. So this is it. We are confident of making contact with a parallel universe this week. Out of this door might come something. That's
well,
what they said.
Sign me up for it right now because I want to get the hell out of 2020.
Let's lead.
I climb out of this year and climb into a new one.
Right. So apparently that's like a legitimate story that they think they're opening portals and stuff, which I'm not really sure is a great idea.
Like I said.
Whatever. All right. Oh, do you want to do
snakes,
this one?
Snakes.
No. It wasn't a snake, remember?
No, it's snake related.
Okay, let's say what it is.
All right, so this happened. This couple is camping, okay?
Are they camping?
I believe so. No.
Okay.
Camping, right?
I don't know if I ever read that. Just read it.
This woman... she's asleep and she's wearing snake printed PJs. Okay.
First of all, what's
and
the matter with her?
And she's got 1 foot outside the blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her husband, like an idiot,
He wakes up and sees what he thinks is a snake. He clobbers her foot. You know, there again, believing it's a snake. Yeah. And he breaks her foot and she goes to the hospital.
I think it's reasonable. Also, I think there's probably more to that story, but whatever.
No, it sounds pretty cut and dry.
They caught a two-headed shark off the coast of India.
Always awesome to
Always
know.
Always awesome.
It can bite you twice.
Oh, gosh. And they found human remains in the woods in PA by hunters in PA.
Where is this?
I don't know. I
wrote somewhere it down in PA. Forget. Well, it's good that PA is a small state.
It's good that I wrote that down.
Narrow it down.
Also, we should probably talk about that missing person that they found alive in Zion National Park.
Let's
that
talk
they think
about her.
Is bullshit. They think.
What
that,
do you mean?
They think that they're going to investigate.
It's a hoax.
Or she like GoFundMe was up real fast.
Really?
Yeah, something's not right. If she did, I'm so sorry. But if you didn't, you made a fuss about nothing and you're misleading people. That's what they think.
Well, listen, if you did do that, it's a pretty good plan.
Okay, so I want to end our sidebars, right, on a missing 411 story because I'm obsessed.
All right,
okay.
Here we go.
So this one's, Bobby posted this, okay? Whoever you are, Bobby, hi. This is how I got hooked on the missing 411 subject and just crazy, suspicious disappearance in the first place. I was out hiking, and for obvious reasons, I'm not going to say where I live or where I go hiking, but it was on a Saturday, and for whatever reason, I felt something pushed me to want to hike deeper into the wilderness, something I've never done before. I only stick to trails and pathways, but I like a good hard workout, so I did it. About 40 minutes into the hike, I realized I made a stupid error and tried to get back on the trail, but it wasn't the error that made me want to get back on the trail or pathway. It was simply the dread that for some reason came over me. I simply have never felt that way before and ever in my entire life. A feeling made me scared for my life. Now, nobody is around me. There is simply nothing out there, just nature at its finest. Yes, I felt something or someone watching me. I felt like something or someone was trailing me, and I kept looking behind, and nothing was there. But this feeling made my whole body go completely numb.
Yeah.
About 20 or 30 minutes go by, completely nothing is happening. No people around, no animals, no sound, literally nothing. Yet I still feel like I'm being watched. I decided to go back the way I came. What came was probably not the best idea, so I decided not to do that. It was a sickening dread that kept me telling me to carry on and not go back the way I came. So I did. Story cut short, I found a pathway and I never went hiking again for about 2 months. The experience absolutely scared the life out of me, and for whatever was out there was not friendly in any way. I never saw anything, but you could feel its presence. I've never had those kinds of feelings come over me hiking or doing anything before. The sickening numbness that comes over you is something I never want to experience again. That's when I found out about David Politis and the missing 411. I've been hooked ever since, and I personally don't think we will ever find out what is truly going on. But the fact that more and more people are paying attention is great, and hope it spreads awareness of not hiking alone, and always, and I truly mean always, carry protection. Tell people you're going. It could literally save your life. Stay safe out there, folks.
What's Bobby carry protection? What are they talking about?
I don't know. I would assume a crucifix, but I believe you meant a gun.
Well, I was thinking like a condom in your wallet or something.
So if Bigfoot tries to
you want
protection,
you want to be safe about it.
Oh my gosh, who knows? But that story is exactly why I love missing 411 stories, and so stay tuned, folks. You might hear a little more about that from us. I think that's it.
If I can, a quick
what
shout out.
Stop it.
To
if you say it
no.
again. Oh, to who?
Morgan Freeman. He's listening.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, I want to give a shout out too. So a couple weeks ago for my daughter's birthday, little Miss Morgan turned 11, and I decided that I would take her dance friends, all like 10 of them, and their moms, the girls and I, would go to dinner and a ghost hunt in Gettysburg. It was a big thing to plan, and I don't know if I'll do it again. But I had a great time, and I hope they had a great time. And so we did Mark Nesbitt's Ghost of Gettysburg tour. Top notch. It was amazing. The girls think they capture a ghost. I think it was a lampshade, whatever. But they had a great time. The girls loved it, and it was just a great time. So I just want to say, if you're checking out a ghost hunt, you want to be historically accurate but also spooky. Mark Nesbitt's tours are great. He also has books called The Ghost of Gettysburg, and I have some signed copies we have downstairs. Wonderful. You bought me one.
I did.
Mm-hmm. For my birthday.
Thank you.
7 years ago.
Or should I say? Right.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. And he was there that night, and I asked if we could come back and talk to him, and he was happy to do that. So we might talk to Mr. Nesbitt.
Well, that might, we will. Hey, Morgan Freeman, if you're out there, I think that you would be fantastic on the new Unsolved Mysteries. So.
Right, and Jason's opinion matters most.
Yes, so hey, think about it.
Oh, so, and also what we're watching, I guess we could say that, we did watch the documentary The Devil's Road about the Warrens. It's good.
Fantastic.
It's real good. It's fantastic. It was good. I thought I was going to hate it. I think I kind of hoped I was going to hate it. That no one could do them justice, that they were going to mess it up. But they didn't mess it up. It was pretty good. I liked it. And we talked about Unsolved Mysteries. And
you did.
Oh, a beautiful series on Netflix also is The Haunting of Bly Manor, which is based on the Turn the Key book.
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
I know. It is one of those that just makes you cry. It's a love story. It's a ghost story. It's got a little bit of everything. And check it out.
One more thing to add here. There's a new series that is coming out on Netflix called Paranormal.
Oh, yeah. We're going to check it out tonight.
We're going to start watching this evening.
All right.
So we will let you know our thoughts on that.
And we will definitely be back next week, guys. Promise, promise, promise. We're coming back at you for an even scarier haunt.
It's going to be fantastic.
Have a great week, guys.
See you.